Right.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Rethink, Refresh, Relaunch. This is Taran Travel, and I've noticed that in some cities the population has really exploded. People are finding it difficult to find a place to live, and certain states are now allowing homeowners to build a small house in their backyard, or they can use a garage as rental property. However, there are certain steps that you must take to find out if your city allows these type of dwellings to be built. There are also certain things that you want to consider before making this a reality. So today I've asked interior designer and real estate investor Nika Robach to come and give us some pointers about what we can do to make this happen. Nika, are you on the line?
I am, yes. Thank you for having me. It's excited to be here and share what I know. I'm very excited about the ADU space, so looking forward.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. So glad you could make our call today. So I want to know, you're an interior designer and a real estate investor. How did you get involved in this line of work?
Well, with my interior design, I've been an interior designer for 18 years and probably was a little bit before that. It's just for fun and did, you know, my rooms, friends and things. And finally, I decided to go back to school and make it official. So it's been a fun ride for the 18 years. Mostly I've been centered around a lot of major construction with remodeling, with kitchens, bathrooms, things of that nature. So then I jumped into real estate investing a few years ago, and naturally I kind of went into the flipping first, but have now gone into much more with working with passive investors and development recently, ADU being kind of one aspect of that as well. So
exactly, I know you just said an ADU. Some people don't know what an ADU is. Can you kind of explain what that stands for and what does that mean?
Yes, I can. I can. So I looked up just to give a real good definition for you, and it says per Fannie Mae, an accessory dwelling unit is typically an additional living area independent of your primary dwelling unit, that would be your home, that includes a fully functioning kitchen and bathroom. It can also be a room or a set of rooms in your single family home in a single family zone that has been designed or configured to be used as a separate dwelling unit. So it can be inside. It's not always just attached as what people think.
Exactly. I know sometimes they call them granny flats, and sometimes they're calling them like in-laws, locations and stuff.
Right. There's always so many funny names for them, yes.
Yeah. I know. So I guess it's now the ADUs are quite popular. And about if I wanted to put one of these in, what would be the price range that I would be looking at to spend?
Well, it really depends on what you're trying to do. I mean, it can range. I mean, like I said, the one that's inside, if you just did what's called a junior ADU, that's only 500, it can only be 500 square feet, that's already taking your existing square footage in your home and just assigning it to be kind of separate with a separate entrance. There may be little to no remodeling in that aspect, you know, because it could be that there's already a bedroom and a bathroom, and you just are going to put in, like, you know, on one wall, if it was a big bedroom, that you're going to put in like a little kitchenette for that space and then knockouts to have a new door entrance. So, you know, it's a huge range. But most of the time when people are thinking of ADUs, the first thing that they think of is taking their garage, whether it be attached or detached. And that's the simplest, would be a garage conversion. And those usually start at about $50,000. And then it depends if you're building ground up, obviously you're going to have a lot more costs associated with that and a lot more time. But that's the beauty of the new laws right now, that they're allowing you can have a junior ADU, a garage conversion, and build a house in behind your house, like all on the same property. So it's actually quite exciting.
It is. It definitely is. But what if I wanted to do that? Is there anything that I need to consider, like big my yard is, or how, if I have a two-car garage or a one-car garage, is there any things that I need to consider if I'm thinking about doing something
right.
like this?
Yeah, as with any design project, you know, you have to assess what you have currently, what you can do, what your scope of work, what money that you have, what money you're thinking about using. If you had a limited budget, then we can, you know, you could say, well, maybe we can just do this. But yes, you don't have to do all that yourself though. I mean, you can, if you're savvy and you know how to look up your own lot size, and then you're going to look up all the zoning for what the setbacks are. I suppose you can kind of go into that yourself, but that's kind of what I do and help people with that. My team, I have besides myself, is doing the interior design and helping you with that. I know from my years of experience, architects, and contractors. So we come over sometimes as a team. We can all come and meet at the same time and kind of discuss that, find out, maybe do a preliminary kind of what your lot size, just to even know, but we would come to the house and talk to you about what your options are.
Okay. So then you would do a consultation with the homeowner.
Correct. Correct. Yes.
Okay. And then what about, where do they get the funding from? Is it that you're taking the equity out of your house, or how can you get funding to be able to put the money together to do an ADU?
Yeah, most of the time it would be that. It would be you would look to either get a HELOC, or if you had a lot of equity, you can refinance and get a cash out refi. What that means is that you just refinance your house if you have enough equity, and if you qualify, then they'll give you a certain amount. It's like a loan that's collateralized against your home. The same thing with the HELOC. It's just set up a little bit differently. It's just a line of credit, but it's still based on your house. And a lot of people do that when they're even just doing remodeling within their house, like a kitchen or a bathroom or something of that nature. I mean, I have been hearing about certain organizations that will help you, and then they take part of the rent for a little while, but I haven't delved into that as much. I mostly deal with people that have the financing already in place, and then they come to me. So,
mm-hmm.
But
what about,
there's,
could you do hard money people?
There's lenders.
Would hard money people do that?
Private potentially, you know, I mean, with real estate, you can get creative with anything, you know, there's always creative financing. So if you had someone that you said, hey, you know, I have this house, would you give me the money to remodel it, and we can split the rent for a certain amount of time? Absolutely. I mean, they would probably be into it. Or you just ask to borrow the money, the same thing, and you're going to, you know, pay them back at a certain term. If, you know, perhaps if you couldn't qualify at the bank, it's always going to be a lot less, especially with the cost of money right now. If you could do a refinance or a HELOC, you're going to get a better rate than you are with hard money, for sure.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah. But
recommend,
if you couldn't qualify and that was your only bet and you knew somebody and you could say, maybe then you did a little differently, that, like I said, that you can say, oh, well, I'm planning on renting it out, so I'll split the rent with you, and they would get it over time the same way. So there's many different ways. I mean, it just depends on that conversation with the lender. With private money, mm-hmm. you got that creativity that you can do, though. In a bank, you can't say, hey, I'll split the rent with you.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. So about timing-wise, from start to finish, if you are doing a ground-up ADU, about how long might that take
A ground up ADU is about 6 to 9 months, depending upon your jurisdiction and how quickly you can get through the planning department. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there are rules in place now. Well, with COVID, it makes it a little bit longer. But they actually even stipulated within the regulations that your city has to get back to you within 60 days. So it's supposed to have a shorter time and not have them draw it out. But with COVID right now, it is drawing, you know, things are being drawn out a little bit more. But if you started your design and thinking about it right now, COVID might be over by then. You know, that's not including, because you do have, you know, you have that time for your design and getting with an architect. And, you know, there's a little bit of time involved with that. They don't take too long. If you kind of know what you want and you're ready to go, I mean, they could probably take about a month to sort of, 3 weeks to a month to put together the drawings, because you get a little back and forth and you might say, oh, I want this or that, or, you know, maybe meet with the contractor because they always have really good information about, oh, you know, if we did this, then we don't have, I went to the other day that the architect, thank God they hadn't already put it to the city. And when my contractor came and looked with the architect, he said, hey, you know, if you take out of the drawings to not do the foundation right here, then I can save you thousands of dollars. So it's always good to really kind of have a whole team and have everybody thinking about it in the planning process before, you know, it gets submitted to the city, or at least, you know, kind of have it ready and then have the contractor look, price it up before you actually do your submitting to the city for the final. Because once that's final and they've stamped it, it's a lot to go through and make changes, and there's extra costs incurred with that. So,
exactly. I can imagine. Now, well, can this change the value of your main dwelling if you have an ADU or as part of your property? Could it change the value of your home?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Your value only goes up because, you know, you're basically in just simple terms, you're adding square footage to your house, you know, you're making livable space and adding square footage. That's just in the simplest terms. And the second part of it is that, you know, you now have basically or something that can be rented out to help pay for the mortgage. I mean, that's very valuable. And more people are, the appraisers are kind of coming a bit more on board. At first, the valuations weren't as good as they should be, but the more that people are doing it and putting them in, the appraisers are becoming much more wise and actually evaluating your property accordingly. Just from a holding standpoint, you know, you are getting your extra income. I think for the flippers, it's still a little bit because of that appraising. But by the time, you know, so that's a little bit where people are like, as a flipper, do I want to wait the time? Do I actually put it in and take the 6 months to do it? Is the valuation going to be there and be able to sell it? But, I mean, it could still be, if you have a buyer, because no matter what the appraiser appraises for, if you have a buyer that says, you know, I want this house, and okay, the bank is only going to cover this part, and then they still have the money to cover the rest of it, or someone's going to come in and pay all cash for it, then it's between you and the buyer to come up with the price of the property, you know?
Exactly. I could understand that. Well, what about your taxes, your property taxes? Does having that have you increase your property taxes because you now have more square footage?
They do, and they will assess on just from what I understand. You may want to ask, you know, the tax your accountant or. But from what I understand and what I've read, that they only assess on the new square footage in the new property. They don't reassess for your whole home, which is good because you know because that's the only thing being updated. Because when you do a remodel too. A lot of times your values, you have to, if you pull permits, they reassess for how much you spent on the property and give it a higher value.
Okay. Exactly. Okay.
Yes.
Now, is there a particular size that an ADU has to be? I mean, like, can it be as small as 300 square feet, or are we talking how many square feet is like a minimum? That they have to be?
Well, I would say it's not worth it at a certain point, you know, to go through all that to make something 100 square feet, you know, to be like, okay, you might as well drop a shed in your backyard if that's how small you want it to be, you know, and just go sit out there. Yeah, typically, I haven't really seen anyone go through the whole process for less than maybe 200, but usually it's about 300 and up. 400 is about what your garage is if you have a two-car garage because it's 20 by 20, so it's 400 square feet. And if you can do a lot in 400 square feet. I can make in that garage conversion a one-bedroom even. I mean, obviously, you're not getting a lavish kitchen and stuff here, and your bedroom isn't even that. Maybe it fits a bed, but you get some separation, you know, that you can kind of put that wall up. But yeah, typically it goes from most of the time you're doing about 400 to up to 1,200 square feet. Sometimes it can be bigger than that, but kind of the regulations are about at 1,200 square feet, and I believe that up to 750, they do not, they don't charge there's something, the impact fees, that's what it is. I was trying to think of the word. So they don't charge the impact fees of the development. So you have impact fees when you're building ground up. So if it's a little bit bigger, you have a little bit more fees, but they're trying to keep it low and encourage people to build them because of our housing shortage. All of these restrictions have been lifted here in California.
Exactly. I know
they
that really, California
yeah,
is
they're really
definitely
wanting people to do it. Yeah.
One of the states.
I mean,
they're almost like pushing us to do it.
Right. Exactly. I mean, people are, yeah, it's, you know, when I talk to my architects and, you know, contractors, I have one architect or several of them just being out and, you know, I network a lot. So, you know, and I've asked that question, like, how much is of your business is geared just to ADUs? And a lot of them have said 80% of their business is geared just to ADUs. So it's exploded over the past couple of years.
Exactly.
And I think
now,
it's
what
going
about,
to go up
do
from
they,
there. Yeah.
Do they have to be like, oh, we have to be aware of our power lines, or does that matter if you have like a lot of power lines above your house? Can you still do ADU back there if you have a you know, low power line?
Sure. Yeah, all of that has to be assessed. The water department comes out, the Edison comes out and takes a look, and you know, there could be added things if they need to reroute them. They usually don't say no. It would probably be more, okay, well, here's what you need to do to make it happen.
Okay.
You know, so then it may just, you know, you may say no after you find out the cost of doing it, you know, to move the power lines or assessing it. Yeah. But I don't believe that they just come out and say, no, you can't build. They would just come out with a solution of rerouting them.
Now, what about if you wanted to build an ADU above your garage? Can you do a second-story ADU?
Oh, absolutely. Those are very popular. Yeah, those are very popular. Yeah, you can. And the same thing, you have to, you know, the height is a little bit, then you really do have to look at the power lines and trees and things of that nature. But those are very popular right now. Because if you don't have a lot size, then you can easily just put it right over the garage. Now, one thing about that, I mean, you have to have it assessed that you're, and it's usually not that big of a deal, but they're going to have to fortify the foundation, usually by putting extra footings. They'll drill down and they'll make the footings larger or bigger and fortify them. And they may even make you kind of put a little bit more of pour more concrete or make the slab thicker. For that reason,
that's what I was thinking.
When you go anything on a two-story, whether, you know, even if it's your own house that you're building up, you have to make sure that the lower half can support the weight.
Exactly. Now, what about, I've heard that they're now allowing you to even have two ADUs on a lot. Had you heard that at all?
I have. That's why I was saying that you could have the garage conversion, and you could have the other house and your J80U. So I believe it's up to three, but that's part of if it's connected to the house as well. But yes, you can have two.
And do you know anything about?
I mean, it depends on your lot size. I mean, if your lot isn't big enough, you can have two. But you know, yeah.
But what about if you take your garage, then that takes your parking? Is there any, do you know of any stipulations as far as having enough parking for the person who's going to be renting your ADU? Is that any kind of requirement?
Well,
you know
to the regulations, if you're within a half mile of a metro, then you don't have to, you don't have to provide parking. Now, I mean, with that being said, then, you know, the thing is it still may be like, oh, you know, there's a lot of people living in that house. Where are they going to find new parking? It may be hard for you, depending on your neighborhood, you know, to find the parking. But by regulation, if you're within a half mile, you do not have to provide any additional parking.
That's great. That definitely makes a difference because, particularly in L.A., they're redoing all these freeways and putting in these railways. So that people can have access to that, because I know we didn't have the greatest transportation system in Southern California. I know Northern California has BART, which is so much more accessible. But it's good to know that if you are close to the public transportation, the bus lines, wonderful to know. Now, what about distance from the back of your lot? Do you know anything about how far away you have to be from your back lot to on your building?
So, yeah, they've reduced that all the way down to, they're called setbacks. So you can have a 4-foot rear setback and side setbacks. Yeah, imagine that. 4 foot, that's it. And, it's, you know, when you're building a new house, you have to have 20 and like 15.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's
and
crazy.
That's what it used to
so
be.
A,
it was 15.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's still that.
And this
like
was,
if you literally, because I'm going through that right now with a development, brand new on a lot. We have to have, we can't even fit an ADU because we have to build the house with the setbacks. So, you know, it's crazy. It's like 20 in the front and 15 in the back. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, why can't we just put it closer up to the front? You know, but yeah, with that, so I was surprised to see that. Yeah, they only have 4 foot setbacks. You do still have to have, I think it may have changed to 8, but 10 for sure. I know it's 10, and then it may have been reduced to 8, but between the two structures. So between the main house and the back one, if it's detached, 10 feet. But yeah, it's incredible that it's only 4 foot setbacks. Yeah. And if there's if there's I just went with a friend that was looking to do, they're tearing down a garage, crazy enough, that already is an ADU. It's wild. And then it was an interesting properties. They had a house in the front. It's not very big. They're building almost bigger in the back, which is hilarious. But there was already an existing kind of small building, which was the first building, which is really strange because the front house was built after the back. That was just original from like 19 whatever it was that they first built it. But it was a really small little building. And it was the setbacks are it's so close to the edge they're allowing to grandfather it in, so it's not even 4 feet. It's crazy, and so they kept one piece of it. They're tearing down part of it, and they kept one piece because then it gets to be grandfathered in if you keep a piece of it, and then they're building off of that.
Oh my goodness!
It's wild. Yeah, it's but otherwise they would have had to tear the whole thing down, but they left about 500 square feet of it or something. It was kind of funny to be able to grandfather that in for the setbacks. It was very interesting.
It sounds like
one thing I'd like to say that
you
may not know, which is interesting that I heard, which is crazy, is especially here in Southern California, they're requiring new builds to have these rainwater capture containers. They're huge. They're ugly. They're costly. So everybody's kind of up in arms about that. But, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I know that all too well.
Okay.
Too well.
I know
now,
things.
One thing that I
heard
a
little
trick
that
was...
if you rent it and then you get rid of if you lease it, it qualifies while you're permitting and all of that, and then you can just cancel the lease afterwards. But
yeah,
I don't know.
That's a whole. Yeah. That's a whole nother call.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
That I could really go on and on about that. But, you know, one thing I did hear, which was incredible, they said if you are part of a community that has HOAs, they're saying in California, that the HOAs
mm-hmm.
cannot prohibit you from adding an ADU to your structure or to your property.
You are correct.
And that, I was floored because usually they can control the color
yeah.
of your house and what you are going to do in your backyard and the kind of plants. And now they're saying they will allow you and that they will not let the HOA control that. That was amazing.
Think they're happy about that, the HOAs. But, yeah, I think you can even convert
sure.
your garage. Can you imagine that? Like, people converting
sure.
their garage?
Sure.
Oh, I know. Within some of those
especially
communities,
when you're
I'm
paying.
Like, wow.
Yes, when you're paying extra for the HOA, I'm sure that that really doesn't make them happy. I'm sure they're going to figure out a way to get around that one. But
I know.
In Southern California, and so I'm just going to read the names of the states that I found out that actually do allow ADUs. I'm going to read them kind of fast, but just so people can just kind of get in their mind, always check your state to find out. But these were the states that allowed it: Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, of course, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Hawaii, Idaho, Indiana, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Ohio, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, not Washington, D.C., but Washington, Wisconsin. So if you live in any
Did you
other
say
state
Oregon
other
on
than
there?
California.
You said Oregon.
Yes. I
okay,
was
yeah.
shocked. So not in all
yeah.
counties and all cities, but always go and check your state laws to find out because there could be a gold mine sitting in your backyard that could now bring in more income, particularly as you might be reaching retirement. Maybe you went through a layoff after the pandemic. But it sounds like, Mika, should you be using a professional when you want to do this? Would that be your recommendation?
Absolutely. I mean, unless your skill set is that you're an architect and a contractor, I think you need to hire some people. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of work for the building.
How could people get in contact with you if they have questions or they might want to hire you to advise them?
Yeah. So you can reach me at Nika, N-I-K-A, at UNIK, interiordesigns.com, or the phone number is 805-864-2585. You can also visit my website, which is the same as what my email is, Unique Interior Designs, spelled with like a play off my name, not with the Q-U-E. So UNIK, Interior Designs. And I help you put the whole team together with the architects and the contractors. So,
well, thank you so much, Nika, for joining us today. I'd just like to say thank you for our listeners for tuning in. This is Rethink, Refresh, Relaunch. And this is Taran Travel signing off. Thank you again, Nika. Have a great rest of
thank
your
you.
Day.
You too.
Remember to make a difference every day. in some way.
I will. That's very good. Bye.